The Spotlight. It's a radio show where volunteers share stories of inspiration, share their journey, express their feelings, and tell us all about those who have touched their lives. And we play their favorite music. It is The Spotlight, Fridays 2 to 3 p.m. on Radio Mariah.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight program on Radio Mariah. My name is Lucy Kiden. Our guest for today is Miss Choko Yokosuka. And Miss Choko Yokosuka has been serving as the Deputy Executive Coordinator of the United Nations Volunteers Program since April 2021. Welcome to the program, Miss Choko.
Thank you very much, Lucy. Very happy to be here.
Well, give us a bit of a background on the United Nations Volunteering Program. When did it start? What is the history behind it?
Great, thank you. Yes, so very happy to be visiting South Sudan this week and to have this opportunity to talk about the UN Volunteers Program, UNV. So UNV was established in 1970 and it became operational in 1971. Our vision is really to create a world where volunteerism is recognized and valued as an important contribution to the world peace and development. And one concrete way to demonstrate this vision is for us to send qualified and highly motivated global citizens as UN volunteers to work at various parts of the United Nations.
All right. And how long would you say you've worked with the UN volunteers now?
So I have been with the UN for a long, long time, mainly with the UN Development Program, UNDP. But I came to UNV in 2019. So I'm relatively new in this organization.
Okay. And so since 2019, over the years after you joined, how has the work and agenda of the UNV program across the globe changed?
So maybe starting from the very early stage, you know, when it was established in 1970, we really started with a very, very small number of UN volunteers who were international UN volunteers working in just a few technical agencies, you know, working, for example, as agricultural extension services or engineers. But since then, UNV's work has really evolved to be engaged in all spheres of UN work, including, very importantly, the peacekeeping. And that's the reason why I'm here, because UNMISS is the biggest host of the peacekeeping operations of UN volunteers worldwide. And then in late 80s and early 90s, peacekeeping had become an important part of the UN's role. And with the United Nations Transitional Authority in Cambodia, UNTAC, that we had at that time, we sent UN volunteers for the first time for peacekeeping operations. In 2021, that's another milestone that we celebrated our 50th anniversary of the organization. And in that year, we reached the number of 10,000 UN volunteers deployment for the first time. And the number is really growing. So in 2021, we had 10,900 UN volunteers in over 100 different professions, serving with the 56 United Nations partners and 160 countries. Over the years, we have developed a wide range of UN volunteer categories so that a very diverse group of interested global citizens can join and contribute to the work of the UN. We have really volunteers from age 18 to 80. We have equal number of volunteers among women and men. We are also facilitating the people with disabilities and those who have been refugees, for example, to work as UN volunteers. So we are trying to really bring diverse, group of people to work as United Nations volunteers in the UN system.
Okay. You have mentioned quite some significant factors about the UNV program. May I ask, though, what prompted you to join the UNV program to work as a coordinator? What attracted you to it?
So UN Volunteers Program is part of the United Nations Development Program. So I've been with UNDP for many, many years, and UN Volunteers' mission has always been attractive to me. They have a very noble mission, which is to really bring the global citizens to come and join the work of the UN so they can make directly the contribution to peace and development. So this mandate, I would say, is really the single factor which really attracted me to want to work for the UNV program.
Okay. Now, you've been in South Sudan for a few days. What would you say is different about the UNV program in South Sudan from other countries?
So, as I mentioned, you know, South Sudan is one of the biggest host of UN volunteers worldwide. In terms of the numbers, we are currently number two, just after Colombia. And the unique thing about UN program in South Sudan is that we have the UNMISS, which, as I mentioned, is a global biggest host of UN volunteers. So that is a very unique feature of our operation in South Sudan. So that's the reason why I'm visiting here this week, given the size of our work. It's very important for me to meet with our key partners and also talk to the UN volunteers themselves. I just had a town hall meeting with the UN volunteers currently serving in the UNMISS and in other agencies, funds and programs, so that, you know, whatever I learned directly from them in terms of their feedback, their concerns, their proposals, I can take back to our headquarters in Germany.
Okay. And from what you've learned from them, were there any challenges shared?
Yes. So, you know, South Sudan is a difficult, I would say, a hardship duty stations. I think the UN volunteers are all very committed, really motivated colleagues. But even for them, having to work in a hardship duty station, many of them outside Juba in different field offices, can be quite taxing, I think. In this kind of situations, they want to make sure that their work is recognized, appreciated and really well rewarded. So there are volunteer positions, so we only pay stipend. So these are not salaries. So stipend to cover the living expenses. But it is understandable request that, you know, that for the hard work that they do, especially over the long period of time, their decent living is ensured. At the same time, their work is well recognized and that they have opportunity to grow and learn, which can be then lead to the next step in their future career. So this is really generally the point that we hear across all UN volunteers globally. But in the hardship duty stations such as South Sudan, the needs are much, much more accurately expressed and heard. And this is what I heard in town hall today. So we are listening to their feedback and reflect on how we can address these.
And where do you see some great opportunities and success stories emerging from a hardship location like South Sudan?
Yes. So in terms of the success, I mean, I met with, you know, senior officials of UNMISS and heads of agencies and UN partners, and they really appreciate the work of the UN volunteers in South Sudan. So that is really the success story. They are making a difference on the ground. And, you know, even outside Juba, I heard about the medical teams, you know, how UN volunteers are making contributions. So these are really, there are lots of success stories happening in South Sudan. In terms of future opportunities, as we heard that the election is scheduled for 2024 and, you know, all sorts of various preparations will be happening with hopefully with the support of the UN leading up to that point. And this is where UN volunteers worldwide, we get very much involved. We can support the electoral assistance work in different places. And we are also hoping that this is an opportunity where we can also be engaged in South Sudan.
Wow, that's quite a good thing to look forward to.
Thank you.
Well, Miss Joko, let's have some music. Tell me about the first track that you've chosen for us today. Let's take a short break before we can come back and talk more about your visit.
Great. So I chose Taylor Swift. That's because my daughter is crazy about Taylor Swift. So this is just to, you know, to pick up on her request to play something by Taylor Swift. Fearless by Taylor Swift.
Let's hear Fearless by Taylor Swift, and we'll be back shortly.
There's something about the way the street looks when it's just rained. There's a glow off the pavement. You walk me to the car, and you know I wanna ask you to dance right there in the middle of the parking lot. Driving down the road, I wonder if you know. I'm trying so hard not to get caught up now, but you're just so cool. Run your hands through your hair, absentmindedly making me want you. And I don't know how it gets better than this. You take my hand and drive me head first, fearless. And I don't know. Drive slow till we run out of road. In this one horse town, I wanna stay right here. In this passenger seat, you put your eyes on me. In this moment, I'll capture it from memory. 'Cause I don't know how it gets better than this. You take my hand and drive me head first, fearless. And I don't know.
Welcome back. That was Fearless by Taylor Swift, a favorite of Miss Choko's daughter here. Miss Choko Yokosuka, the Deputy Executive Coordinator of the United Nations Volunteers Program, just visited South Sudan this week. And so she's here to tell us more about herself. Now, still about your visit to South Sudan. Is it your first time coming to South Sudan?
Yes, that's right. This is my first time. Very excited.
Wow. And what are some of your observations and insights or takeaways from your visit?
Well, so since, you know, I've been working with the UN with the development program, you know, wherever I visit new countries, I tend to look at things from this lens, yes, of the development lens. So I can see that there's a lot of challenges and yet opportunities. So, you know, whenever I visit the field, we call the field, I feel like, oh, I want to go back and work in a place like this where, you know, we can make this kind of project, that kind of programs, and we can make contributions. So the first impression is that of, you know, like really learning how the situations are here, some somber moments of, you know, thinking about the development challenges, but mixed with kind of sense of excitement and, you know, a lot of curiosity about this country.
Okay. And being your first time here, when you came to South Sudan, when you landed and, you know, on the soil, how was that feeling? How did you feel? What were your expectations and what did you get?
Yes, I mean, to be honest, I really didn't know what to expect. But when we landed in Juba, I flew from Istanbul. The air is just different.
How different?
I don't know, some humidity, the heat, of course, but there's something different about this continent, and I enjoyed very much. I did my internship in Nairobi. This is long time ago, at the beginning of my UN career, and I have done some traveling in Africa as well. And this is really the continent really excites me, and I felt like, oh, I'm coming back now, and this was a very nice feeling.
Okay, let's talk about your experience with your work moving from one country to another. How does that make you feel, leaving your country and family? Has the absence from your family affected you?
Like I said, I've been with the UN basically all my career. So I started working for UN Development Program in 1998. So since then, I've been, you know, living in different places. So, you know, for me, this is really part of my life, and this is the life that I chose. And I enjoy it. It gets a little bit difficult, to be honest, as we grow older, of course, because, you know, moving around every 3-4 years can be quite challenging, especially now I have a daughter and I'm a single mom. So I have to also think about her schooling, the education, her friend's situation. So all this coordination becomes more challenging as you grow older. But this is the life that I chose, and I enjoy it very much.
Okay, well, traveling from country to country and being away from home can be a bit of a hardship. But on the other side, it's an opportunity to learn new things, see new places. So what would you say are some of the skills you have learned, survival skills you have acquired, anything valuable you could have gotten along the journeys that you've had?
Yes, so I think really curiosity and interest in the local, you know, culture and the people is, I think, what really got me, you know, keep going down this path. Wherever I go, I really try to establish the network of friends, you know, get to know local people. And wherever I go has been really, people have been very hospitable. One thing I do regret, though, is that maybe especially the last several assignments, I didn't invest enough to learn the languages. you know, as you grow older, it gets more and more difficult to, you know, master the languages. And I had so many other priorities. So I kind of, you know, slacked on that front. But of course, if you speak the local language, even, you know, at the basic level, that makes a huge difference in terms of your interaction with people on the ground.
Okay. Well, in South Sudan, now that you're here, have you learned anything?
No, unfortunately. You know, I arrived on Monday, so this is my third day. I should have been able to at least greet colleagues, but I've been lazy, you see. So I had so many other priorities, I haven't been able to do that.
All right. So give me one phrase you would love to know. I can maybe give you the common language we use here, the Arabic. Yes.
Yes. How do you say, how are you?
Ah, okay. In Arabic, the local Arabic, I prefer to use the local one. We call it Juba Arabic. You say intakef.
Intakef.
And then I would reply, anakwes.
Anakwes. Okay.
That's a take home for you.
Yes, thank you very much. I wrote it down in Japanese so that I can pronounce it.
So how would you say that though in Japanese? How are you?
We say ogenki desu ka.
Ogenki desu ka. And how would
I
reply?
And you say genki desu.
Genki desu.
Yes.
Oh, interesting. Well, something for both of us to learn.
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Thank you so much. And so what would you recollect from your first experience working with the UNVs? What memorable part do you remember from the time you've been working with the UNVs?
Yes. So I am based in our headquarters in Bonn, Germany. So most of the time I'm working out of there. But I have the responsibility to monitor the work of the regional offices and field units. So wherever I have opportunities, I try to visit the field offices and different countries. So this visit to South Sudan is one such mission. So what I enjoy the most is really the direct interaction with our partners and particularly the UN volunteers themselves. So the town hall meeting we just had with UN volunteers, I could directly hear from them, you know, what is concerning them, what they appreciate about the assignment, what excites them, what kind of frustrations they have. All these things really inspires me to interact with these people who are so committed and so motivated to make a difference on the ground. Every time I visit the field, I come back, I feel like I'm really, like my battery has been recharged and I can face another day. So I enjoy this part of my work most.
Sounds exciting. And would you say you're happy with how you've spent your time? Can you look back in your life to the point of 50 and think, yeah, time well spent?
Yes, definitely. I mean, you know, I've always wanted to work for the UN. I clearly remember when I started thinking about it. I was in high school. I was in America. I was in high school. I was in the library doing some research. And that's when I came across some issues with Africa in the famines. And that's when I decided I want to work for the UN and make a contribution. So since then, I haven't changed my mind. And I just went straight into the career. And to this day, that's my motivation. So I'm very happy what I'm doing. And yeah, I've been very blessed, I think.
Okay. Well, let's take another break. And we'll be hearing your second choice of song today. Which one is it?
So again, by Taylor Swift, Shake It Off. Mm-hmm. Again, the same story. I think my daughter will be very happy that I'm choosing Taylor Swift songs. So,
okay, let's hear Shake It Off by Taylor Swift. We'll be back.
Shake it up, I shake it up. Heartbreakers gonna break, break,
Okay, welcome back. That was Shake It Off by Taylor Swift. Again, another favorite of Miss Choko's daughter. And Miss Choko Yokosuka has been serving as the Deputy Executive Coordinator of the United Nations Volunteers Program. So now, Miss Choko, I'm going to ask you, who are the people who have been influential in your life?
Oh, there are so many people that I've worked with in the UN who have been very influential to me. My direct bosses and the leaders of the organization that I had a privilege of working with. So quite a number of people. And I think that makes the work for the UN even more special because we have opportunity to interact with those incredible individuals.
Okay. And just come back to your family a bit, mm-hmm. Especially your parents or guardians. How have they dealt with your career and success? Also, how did they contribute to it?
Yes, I hope they're proud of me. I come from a big family, so I'm number three of the four siblings. And I would say I'm the kind of odd one out because the other three, we all grew up in Japan. They stayed on in Japan. They have normal, successful life. But I'm the one who always wanted to do something different and wanted to get out of the country and work for the international organization. My parents have been really supportive. They also financially supported my education all the way to the graduate school. So, I mean, I owe them a lot. But I think my father really enjoyed seeing me do this job. He's worked all his life in Japan. He's a doctor, but I think secretly he wanted to actually work in the diplomatic world, but different considerations. So he decided to be a doctor and stay at home. But he loves this kind of foreign, he loves traveling. He loves different cultures to get to know places. So I think he liked that one of his, kids started having a career which is outside, and they've been really supportive.
Okay, so you're literally living your father's best life. All right, so right now you are the Deputy Executive Coordinator of the United Nations Volunteers Program. What would you have been if you hadn't become who you are at the moment?
Oh, I have no idea. I mean, you mean if I didn't choose the UN career? I don't know, maybe I would have been a teacher somewhere, but I still think that I would have come out of the country. I just wanted to experience something different. I didn't want to stay in Japan and have my career. So probably I would have been a teacher somewhere outside, abroad. That's my guess.
And is there a way you are manifesting this teaching passion of yours currently?
That's a good point. I mean, I have my daughter, so we do a lot of, we are very, very close. So whatever I know, I try to transmit to my daughter. I don't know if it counts as a teacher, but that's all I can think of.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, if you were stranded in a desert, this is not a trick question. If you were stranded in a desert and you had the opportunity to carry one luxury object or item, what would you take with you?
I really wish that I could come up with something very interesting or unique, but here I would be boring and say my iPad.
What would be in the iPad?
Well, let's hope that the internet works.
In the desert.
Then I can watch the Netflix, and that's how I spend my time, switching off from my work. But also I'm an addict of solitaire. So I can spend a long time playing solitaire.
Do you always win?
I'm quite good, actually. I've been doing this for a long time.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, now we'll take another break and listen to another choice of song, your third one today.
Yes, this will be Let It Be by The Beatles, old classic.
Okay, why this song?
I love the lyrics and I love everything about this song. And this reminds me of the time that I was in a graduate school in London and we used to listen to this song with the friends. So,
okay, let's listen to Let It Be by The Beatles.
Let When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. When all the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer, let it be. Oh, let it be. In times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be.
Welcome back. That was Let It Be by The Beatles. This is The Spotlight, and with me is Miss Choko Yokosuka, who has been serving as the Deputy Executive Coordinator of the United Nations Volunteers Program for a few years now. Now, Miss Choko,
yes.
In your work life, what would be the best three things you've done?
Whoa. Best three things I've done. There are several projects that I feel particularly proud of. So one would be when I was working in Uzbekistan, we had a big area-based development program. And this is something that I've invested a lot of time. So that's one particular program that I feel very proud of. Maybe the second one I can think of, which is more like my memorable, area work, is when I was working in Laos. We did a lot of work on UXO, unexploded ordnances, the bombs removal. And this was a very unique historic issues in Laos. And we as UNDP at that time did a lot of work on that. So I feel very privileged that I was part of that effort. And then the third one is more in general. I think as, you know, I move up to more managerial positions, I am using a lot of time deliberately trying to mentor and provide guidance, especially to female staff, the younger colleagues, especially women who want to build a career in the UN. This is a work in progress, but I feel very, very proud that I am in a position to be able to give advice and provide guidance to the upcoming, you know, female UN staff.
Wow, that's amazing. And in your time working as UNV Deputy Executive Coordinator, which are the three memorable places you've visited in your work time?
Okay. I mean, definitely South Sudan is one of those three. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was the largest operation, and this was the first time that I visited the mission context. So this is very, very special. The second one was I also went back to Uzbekistan, where I had worked for 4.5 years, and this time in a different function. So it was 11 years after I left the country, and then I went back and then as a UN volunteers program. So that was also very memorable. And then the third one, I would say another kind of first, which was to Jordan. We have the regional office there. And this was also the first time that I visited the Middle East. So I learned a lot through that experience. I mean, this job really gives me the opportunity to visit different parts of the world where I haven't still visited and really learn about development challenges. So it has been a great, great learning experience for me.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. And so every guest on the Spotlight is usually given a chance to choose a book. So what book would you like to read in the fields or assignment? That one book that you could probably carry everywhere you go.
You mean like a book, any book?
Any book, yeah.
That I want to take with me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, this is
your
so
favorite
difficult.
Book.
My favorite book. Maybe it's not a favorite book as such, but right now I feel like I want to go back and read. It is by Susan Cain, The Quiet.
Why this book?
So Susan Cain, The Quiet, because through this book, this is about the introverts of the world. And she really clarified the myth around, you know, people with introverted personalities and how they can really make a contribution to the world. You know, they are much, much more quiet, more retrospective, but yet they have great contribution to make. I consider myself to be an introvert, and this book really gave me a lot of positive kind of energy. And it's been a while since I read it, so I want to go back and kind of reflect on it once again.
Okay, that's nice. And apart from the iPad, in your constant activities that involve travel, what other luxuries do you usually carry out to the fields to make your life more bearable?
I always make sure to bring my tea, my favorite tea, because it's not always available, and I want to end the day with this nice cup of tea, which is from South Africa, rooibos tea.
Okay.
It doesn't have the caffeine and really relaxes me. So I always carry it with me.
Okay. Tell me about your final track now and why you've chosen it.
It is called Champagne Problems, again, by Taylor Swift.
Uh-huh.
I love the term champagne problems. It's basically like, okay, you are so stuck in all sorts of problems, but if you step back, it's just a champagne problem. It's not a big deal kind of thing.
You'll get over it.
Yes, it really resonates with me.
Okay. If you had to just pick one of the tracks that you'd chosen today, which one would you pick?
The first one, I think.
Okay.
Fearless.
Okay. Is it one that your daughter listens to all the time?
Yes.
All right.
That's her favorite.
Well, thank you very much for letting us hear your story on the Spotlight here, Ms. Choco.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
It was nice having a chat with you.
Thank you.
Well, this is the Spotlight Program, a show that highlights UN volunteers in South Sudan. And our guest today was Ms. Choko Yokosuka, the Deputy Executive Coordinator for the UN Volunteers Program. She shared with us her amazing story. Now we've come to the end of the show. My name is Lucy Kiden. Goodbye as we listen to Champagne Problems by Taylor Swift.
The Spotlight. It's a radio show where volunteers share stories of inspiration, share their journey, express their feelings, and tell us all about those who have touched their lives. And we play their favorite music. It is The Spotlight, Fridays 2 to 3 p.m. on Radio Mariah.